Is that the Tony Danza show cup?
No, it isn't.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
That's a bit too emasculating for me.
As opposed to, what is it? Is it a Bally's Fitness cup? I don't trust anything out of the
that's
kitchen.
That's kind of a unisex.
No, let me just, I bring in all of my own. I don't bring in my own cutlery. But I try to bring in all. When I say bring in my own coffee cup, I mean, it's like I won't just pick something out of the cupboard. If I'm going to get something out of the. And I'm not like a germ freak either, but if I'm going to get a coffee cup, I will actually re-clean most things that I get out of the dishwasher because there's that late thing on the front of the dishwasher they use that says clean and dirty, that goes in the pile right next to that liquefying butter spray thing that they sold us in 1989 and the pill shaver. It's that thing that you thought you were going to use and you know, look at this dishwasher. It's got a thing on the front that indicates whether the dishes are clean and dirty. Let's buy it now. It's sort of like the shaved ice thing in the front of the fridge that you think you're going to use all the time and then you never really do. Or if you use that thing in the front of the fridge that gives you water and ice, you always think that... Like, you think that it's really important to have a setting that'll let you alternate between cubed and shaved and crushed ice. It's not really important. You never use it again.
I don't worry about my dishwasher at home. It's been repaired 3 times in the past year. Brand new, top of the line. So what's the problem? Because parts get wet, they can cause fires. Imagine that.
So if I get anything out of the cupboard here, I give it a good scrub in my own stuff. The very worst part, have you done this? And this is at my home, actually. And here's what I wish they would sell. I'd buy this. If they sold a dishwasher with a clear front door, I would buy that. Because I find the process of dishwashing pretty fascinating in a strange way. If they sold a dishwasher, they ought to have one that is sort of like it's like one of those oven doors. Where you know, some ovens have the door that is not the... You know, it has like a switch, so you can see into the oven sometimes if you wish to. If there was a dishwasher that had one of those, I would buy it. Because the dishwashing apparatus and mechanism is strangely fascinating to me. But here's what'll happen sometimes. And I think this is a flaw with the way the dishwashers are designed. I firmly believe this. The way that they're set up now is wrong. Because I will guarantee you, Sarah, do you have a dishwasher? Is his name Manuel?
Uh-huh.
All right.
We have one that works.
All right, that's one of those things, man. You just don't appreciate until you don't have one. You ever move into a place you don't have a dishwasher, and your life becomes hell. Dishwashers are sort of like they are like sunroofs and garbage disposals. I mean, once you have that, you can never go back to something that's living in a thing or driving a thing doesn't have that. Once you've had a garbage disposal, you talk about a thing. I don't know how we got along without garbage disposals. It's because without a garbage disposal, what you're obliged to do is at the end of every night, at the end of every week, whenever it is that you're cleaning, you have to just take your hand and you have to put it down into the drain at the bottom of the sink. And everything has just got the consistency of overcooked macaroni. Doesn't matter what it is. And you get that, you know, that gunk, that gush at the bottom of the, whatever it is, it's in the drain. And it all feels like pasta that's just been boiling on the stove for a week and a half.
Why are you putting your hands down your drain?
I'm not anymore because I have a garbage disposal. But I'm saying you can't, because if you don't have a garbage disposal, you have to have one of those things that sits in your drain that screens out. You know, that catches the large bits of detritus and jetsam so they don't go down and clog up your drain. Because then if it clog up your drain, then it's a whole other thing. Then you got to call a guy or buy some drain or whatever. But then you got to clean out the drain. You got to clean out the little trap or whatever it is, the screen that catches that stuff like once a week. And it's just the worst. That is like when you go to dump out your kitchen trash sometimes and there's the accumulated, you know, the garbage juice at the bottom. Garbage juice is one of the vilest. It's not the lunch hour. Nobody's eating yet. You're not even eating. Just making the observation that a garbage disposal, and it's such a satisfying American way to live, right? Doesn't matter what it is. Put it down the drain and turn it on and it's gone. It is an out of sight. Whatever your problem, put it down here and we'll destroy it. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is that's troubling you in the kitchen. Could be an orange peel. Could be a lemon rind. Could be coffee grounds. Could be a zucchini. Doesn't matter. Could be pieces of cheerleader. You put it all down the sink. You flip the switch. It's gone. It's gone. I don't know. It's like it's sort of some like a culinary paper shredder. It just appeals to my sort of I
love shredding.
It just shredding. I've actually gone so far as to price personal paper shredders like at Fry's to have one at home. But I know that I would just sit up all night shredding paper for no reason. I know that I'd go out of my way to find things to shred.
Then you overzealously shred the title on your car.
I've done that. Not the title to my car. Have you shredded the title to your car?
Yes.
Now, was it... Was it with other things that were meant to be shredded, or was it? Were you just look? Was it Christmas morning?
I just
and you had gotten the shredder, and you're like, "Oh, it's fantastic! Let me shred. What's this? Doesn't matter."
I go through two a year.
Oh, so great. The paper shredder is appealing for exactly the same. There is some sort of a satisfaction in just something that is completely demolished. The fact that it's completely destroyed and gone, it's completely pulverized into its component atoms.
Whoever invented it is an unsung hero.
It really is true. Did you ever see those trucks that park downtown sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
The mobile shredding units? And they got those windows on the sides so you can see into the truck. And it's just like 7 feet deep with tiny, tiny little paper shreds. All just overgrown children. But that's what the garbage disposal is. The garbage disposal is the paper shredder of the culinary world. And I love it. Mm-hmm. And you could never go back to not having that. So it is with a dishwasher. I had a point I was going to get to about crud. It's 6 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour 11, and this the month of October, the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along. I'm going to avert my gaze.
It's October the 5th.
Is it October the 5th?
Rocktober.
I'm sorry, Rock. What was I thinking? Rocktober the 5th. Blah, blah, blah. Flushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios by AM970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along. If you'd like to join us today, it's 5 with perhaps your own observations about shredding or garbage disposal. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick at rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, and what have you. 503-733-2970 or rick at rickemerson.com. Final observation about dishwashers, then we'll talk about what we're going to get to today.
Garbage disposal.
The thing about garbage disposals is, well, first of all, they used to have that kind that you couldn't put citrus rinds down. It's like how you didn't used to be able to microwave metal, but now you can.
Unless something gets splattered on the metal and starts a fire. That's what happened to my microwave.
As I understand it, the only metal that you cannot currently microwave is aluminum, or aluminium, as the British say. If it's aluminum foil, you can't microwave that because it'll set itself aflame. If it's not absolutely perfectly clean, it'll burst into flames. Other metal, toss a fork right into the microwave. I'm pretty sure you could always do that, actually. I'm pretty sure that's a thing, that's some crap that they just said. And it was never true. I think it was probably true that you couldn't microwave aluminum, but that they didn't trust idiot Americans, quite sensibly, to draw the distinction. And so like the TSA at the airport, where it's like you can't bring gasoline onto the plane, therefore you can't bring, like, hair gel. I think you can't microwave aluminum foil. And so just to make it simple for all of us, because we're morons, they just said, no metal! But I think, even if you had a microwave from like 15 years ago, I think you could just toss a pan in there and microwave it. I mean, it wouldn't do anything to it, but I don't think there's any harm that comes of it. I would buy, though, as I said about 40 minutes ago, I would buy a dishwasher that had a glass front, because I would like to I have this theory about dishwashers. And the theory is this, that they're designed incorrectly. And this affects you too, Sarah Dillon, even though I can tell that you couldn't possibly be less interested in this conversation. All dishwashers are designed the same way, where there is the top row where you put your glasses, maybe a spatula, a ladle, maybe some sort of a cup. And then the bottom, it's where you put the plates and the silverware or whatever. The problem is, though, you get those powerful jets that swirl around down below, and they blow all the food particles up into the bottom of the glass where they then dry in. That's why sometimes, you ever do this? You have a glass, a cup, something you get out of the cupboard. It's been cleaned in the dishwasher. You think it's fine. Pour yourself a cup of coffee in the morning. Drink it down. You get to the bottom, and there's like some baked-on crap at the bottom of your coffee cup or your glass. And you know that it went through the dishwasher. And you ask yourself, how is it that like bits of lasagna ended up in the bottom of my coffee cup? It is because the dishwasher blows all that stuff straight up into your drinking receptacle, where it is then frozen in time forevermore, like Amber in Jurassic Park.
But anyway, this coffee cup is clean now.
That's a comedic, you know what that is? That's a callback right there, Tim Riley. Well done. I really, if we had some sort of a fancy. There you go. Bada-bing! All right, we'll do the guarantees here in a second. I'm going to skip straight forward to the introductions. Hi, Sarah, how you doing today? Sarah X. Dillon joining us today, looking happy, fantastically pleased to be here, looking as though this is going to be the best day of her life.
It's been a good day.
Has it?
Yeah, it was a really productive day. I dropped Muppet off at the groomer's. He's going to look very cute.
Okay.
And I had to get all the pictures taken.
Can I ask where he gets groomed?
Yeah, it's that place on Hawthorne. Portland Pampered Pets. You just wanted to make me say that, didn't you?
I didn't know, and I don't even really know where... Oh, is it on, like, 40th?
Yeah, it's right next to the pet store there.
I totally know where that is. I went to the pet store to buy... I went there to buy avocado spray for my dog.
Oh.
Because he had a flea bite, and we forgot to put the flea stuff on him. He got a bite, and then he had a flea bite, and then he bites at it, and it's like it gets it, you know? And then it's that dumb thing with dogs where they don't know to leave it alone, and it never gets any better. Mm-hmm. So you spray it with avocado, and it's like an anesthetic.
Let's say I wanted Muppets to look pretty for my birthday party this weekend.
Does that mean they're going to cut off his mohawk?
Yes, they're shaving. She asked if I wanted to keep the mohawk, and yeah. I said she could take it off.
It's fantastic.
And then I had to go get all the pictures developed from when that bitch smashed into my car because I'm meeting with the DA today.
Did you take actual film photos?
Yeah, I took digital prints, so I took like 60 pictures.
Oh, but you're getting them printed out.
Yeah, and I'm bringing the receipt, so she's going to reimburse me when I sue her for everything else.
When we take her home away. When is that?
I'm meeting with the DA today. The next thing is on November 6th. But then she'll inevitably delay it, which means she can do it two more times.
That's okay.
She'll probably be till January.
You know what it is? That's just more time for her to acquire possessions that you can take away in a lawsuit.
You know what? It's going to start getting rainy. I'm going to start getting those bus passes that she's going to have to pay for.
Keep receipts.
Uh-huh.
Keep your receipts. Throw nothing away. Don't shred it.
I will not.
All right. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I take my dog to a place called Beauty for the Beast. So what are you going to do?
Oh, is that on Sandy?
It is on Sandy.
We are lame.
You know what? But I go there because that's where Dennis Pitzenbarger takes his dog. So he recommended it. That's recommended by him and Diana from downtown. They recommended that place. So, all right. And so forth. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Well, since the age of consent in D.C. is 16, maybe Mark Foley isn't a pedophile after all, but he sure is naughty. Dennis Hassard calls it a liberal conspiracy. A Wisconsin politician asks, why not give guns to teachers?
Why not?
The Reverend Fred Phelps cancels his Amish funeral protest in exchange for airtime at a conservative talk show. And Tomcat denies rumors of a second pregnancy.
Okay, so there you go.
I'm sorry, that was totally my fault. My sister was calling. And I lost the mono bed.
Wait a minute, there's no music.
Hang on.
I feel like all our energy has been lost. I feel like the programmers know we're now stagnant. We're dead in the water. It's over. Done. Oh, there we go. Okay, it's all good again. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Mailman's daughter, Mary, who is tracking our progress getting to things in the stead of Mailman Chris. How are you, Mary?
We're doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Here's what we're going to get to today. I got some of the following. We did a pretty good job of getting this stuff yesterday.
After the first, like, 2.5 hours, yeah.
All right. Look, it takes us time to ramp up sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you can't go 0 to 60 in an hour, Mary. You know, God gives us all our own speed.
Very well.
Thank you. All right. Today, let's see. We have another Nature Rises Up story. Man changes light bulb, 10,000 bees attack from the ceiling. We have a piece of obviously made up news that we'll be sharing with Jim Roop today. We have, I'll talk about The Departed, which is the new Martin Scorsese film. And then we have all of our suggestions. We're going to be giving away a pair of Tim Conway, Harvey Korman tickets, all of our suggestions for the submissions for the Mark Foley Limerick contest. We'll be getting to those today. Please now to begin. You can call with those as well if you like, and Scotty has to keep track of them all, so.
He's going to write them out very nicely to make copies for all of us.
He's now in triplicate, and then copy them for the file, and then CC everybody in the company. He's now don't CC everybody in the company. He's now a gainfully employed person. So I have no problem making him do all this. So, but today, by the end of today, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, their farewell performance November 17th at the Schnitzer. That's for the best Mark Foley limerick. Don't forget, by the end of tomorrow, we hope to have a new Foley watch sounder. You can send your MP3s, so that's rick@rickemerson.com. Bada-da-da, bada-bing. There you go. Oh, and I have another... Well, that we'll just call it that. We'll call it that good for now. So there you go. That's what we got, Mary.
I got it. I've got it.
Okay, there you go. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we'll check in with you at the end of the show. There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it. There you go. That's Mailman's daughter, Mary. Let me ask you this. Am I hard of hearing, or do... Sometimes
I have returned all the way up.
Sometimes when she speaks, have you ever played The Sims?
No, I'm too busy.
No.
Okay, there's a
I
video
have a life.
Game. Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. It looks interesting.
Look, there's no need to be bitchy about it. I don't play it either, but my wife does or has in the past. If you're unemployed, it's a great thing to play because it literally is like a virtual life. It's like the game. I mean, it really, and you, it's a huge game.
And I'm being bitchy for saying I have a life when you say that that's a virtual life you
it
can
is a
play when you're
life.
Unemployed.
It's a virtual, you're making it sound like I'm a loser. Shut your head. Look, the kids, they know what I'm talking about. I believe it is actually now the best-selling PC game of all time, by the way. So, it is used the minority, Sarah. Anyway, but the point is, it's kind of like, remember that board game, The Game of Life? Imagine like that, but like a huge... Did you ever play like, when you were a little girl, did you ever play video games there? Did you ever play like Sim City or Sim, any of those simulation games from Will Wright Studios?
No, I played Legend of Zelda.
Okay, well this is...
I played Pong.
Anywho.
And Wizards and Warriors.
Whatever. The point is, the blah, 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 and there's some characters. And the thing is, there's scenes where they're supposed to talk with each other, but because they want the game to have universal appeal, they talk in a made-up language that is gibberish. And so the inflections are all correct.
Please tell me you know this language.
I don't know the language, although...
Do you know any words in the language?
I don't. I can do sort of an approximation of it, which I'll do here in a second. But I'm sure that there's a thing online where you can, look it up, because I'm sure that somebody sat down to make it a real language. But it's a whole lot of... And it's a whole lot of, if you were just listening real casually, it sounds like a real language until you try to actually figure out what they're saying, and then you go, wait a minute, this is gibberish. Maybe I'll capture some sound on my computer tonight and bring it in tomorrow. It's pretty fascinating, actually. That's kind of what Mary sounds like sometimes, though. It's a lot of, Mary, how you doing? And then I just kind of go, okay. And she doesn't have handy little, emoticon things that appear above her head. So I
can't. Does she have a bikini you can put her in? Because you dress them all the way you want and make them do things.
it was the expression on your face as you said that. It was the way both your eyebrows arched. Things. Hey, are these all shredding stories? That's great.
I tell you.
Somebody's going to call up and talk like a sim, aren't they? I just know that it's true. All right, 503-733-2970. Hey, here's another thing, though. This is a cool thing that's coming up today. At 1 o'clock, we have a guy coming in today. We're not going to say where we know him from, but a guy named Tim Ryan, who we know, is going to come in today. We had this discussion yesterday about, we were talking about the, small things, behind-the-scenes stuff that I wonder about that you could make a documentary of. And I was like, well, who are those people in the picture frames when you buy the picture? And I said, who creates elevator music? Who writes music, when you sit in an elevator and it's just a lot of generic, music. And who sits down and writes that? But an adjunct to who writes elevator music, complete this sentence, Sarah, see if you can figure out how to do a radio talk show. Who does blank music? Things.
I don't know what you're talking. I don't get this game.
I'm lost already.
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Fill in this sentence. Okay, complete this sentence. Fill in the missing word here. Haven't you ever wondered who does the music for blank films?
Porn?
Yes. We know a guy who does the music for porn films.
Here?
Is? Yes. things.
Well, maybe he can bring us a CD because we only have that one porn song we use over and over again.
Oh, genius. Because we only have that
and
one.
And the way these Mark Foley tapes are going.
And it's only 20. I never thought about that. We should do Mark Foley IMs with the porn music created by the guy.
Yeah.
Big Ram is back.
No.
Oh.
No, but...
In that same...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're not gonna...
Okay.
Because of, with...
So would you guess?
What?
That could...
You mean, do you look at him and go, that's a guy that makes porn music?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
You gonna get the porn music vibe off of him?
Well, maybe. He's, anyway, so at 1 o'clock, he's gonna come in here. We have a guy... It turns out we know a guy who creates music for porn films. And he's going to come in, and I swear to God, he's going to play some of it for us. It's genius. He played it for me last night. I'm like, because I came up to him, I'm like, hey, somebody told me. This is the conversation. This is how it went last night. Because I was tipped off to it by somebody else.
And yes. So you approached a man late at night last night asking me to listen to his porn music with him?
Yes. No, I was tipped off to it by somebody else. They're like, hey, did you know that he makes, music for adult cinema? And I said, what? I said, yeah, he's the guy that does that. He just makes porn music. I'm like, really? And so here's the thing. Here's how the conversation, he couldn't wait to tell me. So I come, he's working on the thing last night. I come, he's on a computer, and I walk over, and I go, hey. And he goes, hey. And I said, so we were having this discussion on the show yesterday. And we were having this discussion. This is exactly how the conversation wanted to go. We were having this discussion about who are those people that write elevator music? And before I even got another word out, he goes, I make porn film music. And he was bursting with excitement. You can tell it's a thing that he knows is cool, but doesn't have anybody to tell. And in his, and it, you know, his other, in his other life, it's not, you know, it's not really an appropriate venue for him to share that information. So you can tell that he was excited to talk to somebody who would actually care. Anyway, so he'll be in today at 1 o'clock, and he's going to talk about making music for porn films right here in Portland. It's fantastic, and so forth. All right, well, let's take one shredding call, Scotty, and then we'll break. We'll come back. Coming up later on, bottom of the hour, Lisa Goddard is going to talk to us. Later on, Gary Baumgartner will go crazy and break things. Jim Roop will be here, and I'll talk to him about Brute Cologne. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Awesome. Hey, love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, quick shredding story. I used to work for Brinks Armored Truck. Used to haul money around.
Right.
And used to go into the Federal Reserve Building up in Seattle, down into the bowels where they count all the millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
And they have a huge shredding machine that shreds all the dollar bills that they take out of circulation.
That's so cool.
And if you wanna feel like you're small, I asked the guy that worked there how many, you know, they measure by tons, and they shred about 15 to 20 tons of
paper money.
Of paper money a month.
How much is that? Did he even have an estimate?
I couldn't even guess. The hopper that the shredded money goes into is about the size of a minivan.
When I was a kid, they used to sell a thing at coin shops. Like if you were a coin collector, they would sell this thing at coin shops, and it was, I don't know if they still do it anymore, but it was like a sealed, like a sealed plastic bag, like a sealed Mylar bag, about the dimensions of a $1 bill, and the gimmick was it was like $1,000. Of shredded. Money shredded and put inside there, so you could carry like $1,000, but of course it was all in shredded form.
They used to make pens with it too.
Yeah, and it just fascinated me when I was a kid.
You said that you saw the window on the side of the truck that you see downtown.
Yeah.
Well, they have a window on this big chute, and then you stick your face in there and you watch it. And they shred it to its, you know, almost like dust. And you just watch these millions and millions of dollars being shredded, and it just kind of makes you feel small and insignificant, you know.
Well, I feel that way now. So maybe it would be some sort of opposite day thing. It might make me.
Yeah.
No, probably not. All right.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go. All right, Scotty. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, no, I'll just do the other two when I get back, and then we'll talk to Lisa, Scotty. All right. 503-733-2970. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna break back after this. The Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
No, he doesn't. I have a stir fry.
It has
all kinds of vegetables and rice and.
I did that stupid thing again where, because I've told you about this, but I'm so anal retentive that I get all my morning stuff done the night before, because in the morning I'm useless. I wake up in the morning, it's just it's a huge wandering through a haze. So I do, whatever, if I'm going to wear, like if I got to iron something or if I got to clean something, do it all the night before my lunch, all that. Lunch done, packed, set aside, you know, just like a third grader, and then I just walked off without it. And so then I got to send Scotty to Quiznos. And I just don't like their food. It's not terrible.
I used to love Quiznos until we started working here.
Yeah, but see, that you have it more than three times in a week or something, and it's just, you're ruined on it forever.
Still love that Thai place down the street, though.
And the Thai place.
I haven't gotten tired of that.
Yeah. Too bad we're not going there this afternoon.
No, come on!
Yeah!
I've been preparing for it.
In your face. It's not healthy. It's not healthy.
Yes, it is, because you're going to go over there and get a cheeseburger.
Yeah. The crap that you
fries.
Order is not healthy.
It's better than a cheeseburger and fries, and let me live in my dream.
It's just a bunch of starch.
It is not.
It is. It's rice,
there's
by
tofu
definition,
in there.
Is nothing but starch. And you get the
it is not rice.
And your stuff is filled with noodles as well.
It's noodles. It's carbohydrates. They're good for you.
Starch is what it is. Starch.
Whatever. How was your drive home yesterday?
Damn woman, did you bicycle today?
I did.
All right, well,
I bicycle every day. You say you're. See, I don't talk about it. You brag about even though I ride like three times as much as you do.
You don't bicycle every day. That's a lie.
I do too.
And I bicycle farther than you. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, is this.
Such a baby.
I'm not a baby. Whose cell battery is going to die? Jim? Fine. All right. We'll talk to Jim, then we'll talk to Lisa Goddard, and then I will continue to talk about why we're going to Carafe for lunch this afternoon.
No!
I'm just. We always go to the Thai place.
You know, we're just going to eat cheeseburgers and fries. I'm not going to.
Yeah, and it's in that mustard mayonnaise. You don't eat then.
Fine.
Don't eat. I'm offering to buy lunch. You want to pass up? You know what it is?
I'll pass it up. I've got willpower.
You know what this is?
Jim's cell phone's about ready to
die. That's fine. Jim can wait. You know what this? You know what this is like? This is like when you're having a fight with your mom when you're a kid, and it's like you're digging in your heels and she's digging in her heels, and finally she sends you to your room and you're just and you stomp off to the room and you slam, which I used to do, and slam the door and you sulk, and then your mom comes in and she tries to make the peace and she's all like, "Well, do you want to go to a movie or something?" You're like, "No!" And you really do, but then you don't because you think that somehow it's punishing her to deny yourself, like, the thing that she's offering. I'm saying, I'm offering to buy lunch. If you want to protest that we're not getting Thai by refusing to eat free food, that's
protesting.
Not my loss.
I'm saying you taunted me with Thai. You said, "Where do you want to eat?" And I said, "I love Thai food."
I didn't
taunt
you.
You told me to pick.
I never said that. You are making that up. That is an out-and-out lie.
I remember
what
you telling
I said
me I
this
could
morning
pay.
Was, as I said, am I still paying?
You're like, "Hey, are you excited for Thai?" And I said, yes. You said, too nothing. Bad we're not going.
I just said that now.
That's
not what
mean.
I said this morning. That's not what I said this morning. You said, "Are we still going to lunch?" And I said, "Yes, am I still buying?" And then you said, "Yes, you're still buying unless you change your mind." And I said, "No." And I said, "Then I'm picking where we're going." And we've only gone to the correct place once. We've gone to your Thai place like 100 times.
Yeah, but the service over there wasn't very good.
It doesn't matter. They got fries you can dip in mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, I'm saying.
Fine. You realize that I'm not eating cheeseburgers and fries and my meal's going to be really expensive then. So I'm going to have to get something good for me.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, great. Love their show.
Thanks.
No, you don't.
No, it's okay. You don't have to lie. Don't spare our feelings, sir. How can I help you, sir?
Oh, I work in a trailer park in Vancouver, maintenance guy.
Okay.
Yesterday we were cleaning out a trailer. And there's a refrigerator sitting there. And I know the power's been off for a while, so I expect a little bit of grunge in there.
Just tell me it doesn't end with there being a homeless guy inside. That's all I want to know.
No, but it was loaded with food, although you couldn't tell exactly what kind of food anymore.
It had been food. It could have been meat, could have been cake, could have been meat cake.
Could have been.
Yeah.
The freezer and the lower compartment. Totally loaded with food.
Now, this is in somebody's, in a trailer, and this is in a place of residence. Yeah. And so what was the person, if I can ask, has the person died, or had they been kicked out, or?
No, they just didn't pay their rent, and they found some other place to live.
Oh, they were like me, and they just left, everything in the place.
Right.
Yeah, good times. And so, now how, I mean, you just throw the fridge away, though, right? There's no, you can't get the funk out of that. There's no, you can't get the smell out of that.
But before you take it, you have to clean it out. They won't take it unless you clean it out.
That's what you do a power wash, like they did on my sidewalk the other day. Yeah, you get a fire hose, you blow that whole thing out, sir. Yeah, that's no good. Next time that happens, take a photo of it and send it to us.
But I got to tell you, we opened the doors, and the inside, I couldn't figure it out, you know, because it's usually white porcelain, you know, and it's like all black.
Oh, no.
And this might be mold or something. And I started looking, and it was all fly.
Ah!
Never seen the light of day.
Oh!
And the lady that was working with me.
Oh, I want to take my headphones off to get away from this.
It's worse than that.
Oh, no, it can't. How can it be worse?
It was the maggot water.
Oh!
At the bottom of the fridge, maggots were pouring out over the edge like a waterfall. You never seen anything like it.
That's your phrase of the day, by the way. Maggots were pouring out over the edge like a waterfall. If you're trying to diet, you've just found your new method.
Yeah.
I couldn't eat anything that evening.
I was going to have mayonnaise fries today. Oh, you son of a bitch. Oh, you bastard.
That's made me take my clothes off outside the door.
I'd say you'd be burning your clothes. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. That's the worst. You realize that you have just scarred people across Portland with that story.
So sorry.
No, you're not. Here's the thing: is you wanted to suffer with others, didn't you? You
I
misery
gotta
loved company.
More. I've got to go drag that thing out of that trailer today.
Okay, take a photo of it.
I'll do that.
Send me a picture.
I will.
All right,
send us a picture of the waterfall of maggots.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
That's Jim. Oh God. All right. There's no way to do it. Seamless segue here. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I think that's the single worst phone call we've ever taken. I mean, content-wise. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, guys.
Hi. How's your day going?
I think it's going better because I was actually, no offense to your caller, to Jim, but I was actually listening to Dennis Hastert at the time, so I have no idea what he said.
Oh.
Disgusting.
You don't even want to know, sister. It's worse than your brain could possibly conjure up.
It's your word for it.
I really thought, and again, I don't wish to be morbid, but I really thought that we had maxed out on the creepiness factor yesterday. We had, and this is not a graphic phone call, but that we had yesterday a really weird phone call from a guy who does autopsies. And he does autopsies while listening to our show, and we were noting how strange it is that, A, our show is, not that they actually hear it, but you know what I mean, it's the last thing, the last audio that many deceased persons in Portland hear before they are, remanded to the hereafter or whatever, and B, how it's just a weird strange, that it is just conceivable that actually while he's there doing an autopsy or whatever, some of the people he's working on could actually be former listeners of ours. It was just a whole bit. We had a whole weird, bizarre conversation yesterday that started with somebody's question about the difference between a casket and a coffin, and it just veered off into this whole weird Halloweenish Hitchcock conversation. It was all very strange.
Okay.
Well, let's not bring it. Anyway, and so then that leads us to this guy cleaning out this refrigerator in a trailer park.
And
as soon as the guy calls up and he's like, Rick, I have a great story about old food in a trailer park. It's going nowhere good, you know?
I really feel bad cutting you off, but I honestly don't have a lot of time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Congressman Hastert is speaking right now.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't even have. Sorry.
The question is whether he's going to resign or not. And no offense to the
I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought he was done. I had no idea this was happening. What? Well.
No problem.
So he is speaking right now at this moment.
I tried to tip you off. I should have been a little more clear. Yeah, he's speaking right now at this moment. I can give you a little feed of what he's saying right now.
Well, would it be better if we came back to you later?
Well, I can tell you pretty much we know what he was going. I heard what he said from the beginning, which basically was we are taking responsibility. The buck stops here. Those kinds of things. But he is not going to resign.
Well, not today.
No, announcing that now.
Yeah, not today. But I think it was Keith Oberman was talking about this last night. He was saying that that these things do sort of take on a life of their own at a certain point. There is a sort of critical mass that's reached, after which it just becomes, in the political parlance, untenable for him to. Because at a certain point, you get the Trent Lott syndrome, right? Where you just, even if you're in the gig, you can't wield any real power.
Well, you know, Trent Lott's theory, too, that I love to quote, is he said, you can get through anything in 90 days. But, of course, the Republicans don't have that. And the issue now is they are out there polling to see would they lose more seats with Hastert staying on or with him leaving. And then you have to ask the question, it's not whether they would lose more seats today, but what's going to happen in 4 weeks? Are people still going to be blaming Dennis Hastert and still wanting him to go? You know, and these are all very tricky issues, and Republicans know that Hastert resigning is essentially conceding the House to Democrats. And even though they are just hemorrhaging on all kinds of issues right now, that's the very last thing they want to do. So now they have Dennis Hastert speaking at his office in Illinois, trying to hold on with his fingers and hands to his office. And so far it looks like he's going to do that, but it is possible. There's so many things are possible. He could still be forced out before the elections. He could be forced out after the elections. Or maybe he won't even have the option because it's possible that Democrats may not retake the House, of course.
Well, and this, I think, does a lot of this depend, does a lot of this depend on how actively the Democrats make this their playbook and push it? In other words, does the scandal drive itself or does it depend on the Democrats to really actively every day wake up and link the two together?
No, this one does not depend on the Democrats. And in fact, they're enjoying sitting back in their Archie Bunker recliner and just flipping between news channels, grinning, you know, as everyone continues covering this. They hardly have to do anything on this, and they like it that way. They don't want to be blamed for politicizing something. They would never do that.
Of course not.
But they like staying out of this and like watching Republicans fumble a very difficult pass to begin with.
Well, and the interesting thing is you've got all of these weird sort of deeds and actions that are sort of conflicting. For example, you had Kirk Fordham, who resigned because he had been with the top aide. Is that right? Am I phrasing that correct? He was the top aide to Mark Foley at a certain point.
That's right.
Chief
then
of staff.
He became the top aide to the man who runs the Congressional Campaign Committee for the Republicans, and that was the issue, is that the man that he moved to is also alleged to be part of this cover-up, though actually that second congressman was one of the first to notify House leadership of this problem, as far as we know it. But the fact is that Kirk Fordham was involved with both, and there's a lot of questions as to his role, but I think he really got put in the frying pan when ABC News disclosed that Kirk Fordham had tried to talk them into a deal, saying, don't reveal these instant messages, and if you don't, you'll get the exclusive on Mark Foley's resignation.
And he
turned that down. So I think once that came out, then, you know, Kirk Fordham, you know, is smelling pretty bad, and he knew it.
Well, and it's interesting, actually, when he resigned, he made some statement to the effect of, like, I didn't do anything, and it was nothing inappropriate, and at no point did I step up across any bounds of propriety, but, you know, but I'm leaving anyway. And so that's one of those things where I think people can usually put two and two together there. Let me ask you this. We had talked to Bob Costantini about this yesterday, and he...
Right.
Bob Costantini just clings so hard, just like a Titanic survivor to a piece of wood, to these journalistic ethics that have somehow been pounded into him over the years.
That's right.
And we try to strip them away, but he just clings to them, man. And we brought up the fact that three different times yesterday, Fox News identified Mark Foley as a Democrat.
Oh, did they really?
They did. Have you not heard this? On screen, three different times yesterday, the Fox News network identified Mark Foley as being a Democrat. And we were operating under the supposition that really nothing on television happens by accident. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences.
Oh, boy.
But I am curious as to, it's not just ABC News. It is also apparently Fox News that knew about all of this like a year ago, and it does raise the issue of whether or not they are in some way liable if they were aiding and abetting or at least had knowledge of and did not report something that may in fact be felonious.
Right, it's true. I think that Fox News, I think there are a lot of accidents in television, a lot. And I think that I suspect that is, especially three times, I think that's probably a mistake. That's just oversight. I mean, who knows?
As far as the sort of previous knowledge of this, though,
but CNN is sending me these urgent messages. Please call.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to get out of your hair. I know you got stuff to cover. I'll tell you what. I'm sure we are going to have ample opportunities to discuss this. Yeah. So, Lisa, I will let you go. We'll talk to you at another point.
Okay, great.
There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. All right, there you go. It's all very... You know, it's so funny that early on she's like, so we were listening to Dennis Hastert, and... At no point, I was completely unaware that she meant he's talking. That's what Laura's always talking about. That, don't you have a television? That's complete. You can hear the voice of Laura Caviezel weighing in there. All right, so we'll talk to Lisa Goddard again at some point. Grace Under Fire is what that lady's all about right there. Lisa Goddard, she can manage all of our BS over here and then also be watching Dennis Hastert and then be managing text messages from CNN. She's a multitasker. Another thing Lisa and I have in common. Another special little bond we have. It's 503-733-2970. Did you put on lip gloss during the break?
Yeah, I don't have chapstick.
Okay. Just checking. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. That's like Princess Leia lip gloss right there. Which I mean in a good way. It's 503.
Target generic lip gloss.
Seven. I'm just saying it's very...
Okay.
It's amply applied. Are you being angry about the mayonnaise fries thing?
No.
Do I have to call Mike Everhart?
No, because it'll just be you two ganging up against me.
I'm not going to. He'll probably take your side because that's what he does. It's okay. He probably won't be on my side of this. I'm just saying, we eat at the Thai food place all the time.
I can't anymore. Ever since we started at 11, I have to be here at 10. They're not open until 11, so I haven't eaten there in weeks.
Well, I'm not. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it. I'm not saying we eat there all the time. I'm saying when we have lunch, that's where we go. And in fact, if we were going to be fair about this, Sarah Dillon, I think anybody would have to acknowledge, from an outside perspective, an objective observer would note that I accede to you on lunch selections almost all of the time.
Fine.
I am totally
really
whipped when it comes
there to
lunch.
No, we could go there.
All right. Well,
I'm just saying it's going to be more expensive.
What do you care? I'm paying.
I'm concerned for your financial well-being.
You're not. Don't lie. You just don't.
I know my tofu pad thai is $7. I don't know what, you know.
You don't want me to have nice things. That's it. Just admit it. You don't want me to have anything good. I'm just saying. I'm saying that I'm totally and completely whipped when it comes to lunch. Because when we go to lunch, it's either A, it's because we're... because especially with this work schedule, we don't really go to lunch a whole lot. Now, when we were unemployed, we went to lunch. What else were we doing? But now, it's always, if we go to lunch, it's usually on a weekend or in an afternoon, and it's because you're in the process of doing a favor for me. Like, i.e. helping me buy something, helping me pick out clothing, whatever. Speaking of which,
like
I gotta,
when we're going to go hat shopping?
We got to go, we have to buy me a chapeau to cover my head after the procedure and the so forth. But so it's always when we're out shopping, and then I feel obligated to go wherever it is you want to go. And then Tim, if we take Tim along, we can't go to the cheeseburger place, obviously, because that's...
Is Tim coming today?
I don't believe so. Because at 4, I think I shot him an email about it, but he's always out of here by, like, 3:01 anyway. So, I don't know. I can ask him. See, because that's always... You just want Tim to go because that tips it towards the Thai place.
I love Tim. That is not true.
I feel not unwarmly towards Tim as well. I'm simply saying...
And maybe I do admire the fact that he's vegan.
All right. Scotty is commanding me to,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to Jack Squad!
Scotty, please, summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Scotty J. Hello, sir, how are you?
Good morning, doing great.
You're looking fresh-faced and well-scrubbed today.
Yeah, he's wearing a shirt underneath his zippy shirt.
I'm wearing my AM970 attire.
Are you? Now, see, normally that's... And you have, like, a zip-up thing over it. Normally that's the kind of thing where you would just wear no shirt underneath it, and we would get the big, like, Black Forest thatch of hair. Yeah, exactly. So,
well,
thank you for shielding.
It was actually foggy on the west side today, so...
Was it? On the west side?
I need to shelter myself from the fog.
In the hills. All right, okay. Thank you. All right, so what is video? So today, here's... Because one of your new tasks is for me to help us track what we have to give away at any given point in time, and when we got to do it by, and how we got to do it, because I'm terrible at giveaways. We've talked about this before. The contesting is my Achilles heel. and so that's why we always end it. No matter what it is, we could be giving away, like, a trip to Tahiti, and it's always at, like, you know, at 2:57, I'm like, ah, damn, caller 9, you know, and whatever. But you're going to help us track from this day forward, Scotty, what we have to give away and how we're going to do it. So today, what have we? We have a pair of tickets to Conway and Corman, Conway, Harvey Corman.
We have a pair of tickets to give away today for the best limerick.
Best Mark Foley limerick.
I figured you would probably say some throughout the day and then at the end of the day kind of have a vote thing.
I got a whole bunch emailed to me. I got many, many, many Mark Foley limericks.
It might be better to have a limerick section so that way we can all compare them all really quickly.
That's a good idea.
Sure.
Maybe like, I don't know, maybe like 1:45 or 2. Maybe Jen Lane's going to be in the day. Maybe in the final hour today.
Because right around there, you might get bombarded with a lot of people trying to get through that didn't email their limerick.
Well, I do think we should take some via the phone, though, just scattered throughout the day.
Okay, yeah, that way.
Like, for instance, that Dale here, does Dale have a Foley limerick?
He sure does.
Is it clean?
As far as I know, yes.
You don't know, do you?
Did he tell it to you?
Did he tell it to you?
No. He didn't.
Okay, then how do we know? See, the problem is a lot of guys... Here's the problem, and I'm not blaming the listeners for this, because these rules are difficult to understand. Many times listeners believe something is clean that is not. Like Storm, when Storm used the... made that Monica Lewinsky reference the other day. Which And the funny part is we bleeped. She's like, you can't say that? And she was amazed.
I'll listen to it.
Okay, so Sarah, right now, let's listen to Sarah listen.
Hello. Hello? I hate this phone!
Okay.
Hello. All right, give me your limerick.
Sarah on the phone with Dale. Listening to a Mark Foley limerick. And she's
okay, hang
up
on.
To the green. She putts. Yes?
It's clean.
Is it clean?
Huh?
All right.
It's clean.
So here's the deal. So if you've got a Mark Foley limerick, this is now the number for you to then please be calling. It's 503. 733-2978. Now, we're not going to... We get like 1,000 people calling right now. We're not going to get to all of them. So we may turn some people away. Scotty, you may ask people to call back later.
Sure.
Because we got other stuff we're going to do. So you might tell people, like, look, that's great. Call us back in like half an hour. And also, because you are now a so-called employee, now, I don't feel bad making you track all of these.
No.
Because one may
problem.
Be really great, and I may be like, hey, that's great. Make a note of that guy, and then we got to call him back later. All right. Let's see. This is Dale. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Do we have a limerick bed, Scotty? Don't we have a... You, of all people, did not anticipate the need for a limerick bed?
You know, we needed something probably Irish. You know, some kind of Irish, you know...
Do you think?
Leprechaun-type music.
I'm just amazed.
You just say it in an accent?
Hold on just a second, sir. I'm saying I'm amazed. Look, I'm not trying to bust your chops. I'm just saying I'm amazed that you, of all people... You make sounders every day for like 50 things that we don't need and will never do. And yet for this, I'm amazed that you did not anticipate the need for a limerick. I have to say, I'm a little shocked. I'm a little shocked and disappointed, Scotty.
I did have an opener idea, but...
We may have to rethink things, Scotty. We may have to take a break from each other. All right. Dale, no, we'll accept you. Are you going to say this in like a bad Lucky Charms accent?
Do you want me to?
No.
Okay. I won't.
All right, thank you. Then let's move forward. Give us the limerick, then.
Okay. There was an old man, Mark Foley, a secret he kept so solely. Boys on PCs made him so pleased as when the priest made him holy.
Now, I'm unsure about the meter here, because give us the first line again.
There was an old man, Mark Foley.
Now, isn't he missing a syllable, Sarah? You're sort of Irish. Isn't he missing a...
Oh, yes. Gives me a vast knowledge of syllables.
Don't be smart. I'm just saying. Isn't it... There? Say one more time. But he's missing a part there. Say the first line.
The last line?
Say the first line one more time, sir.
There was an old man, Mark Foley.
See, isn't it there was an old man named Mark Foley? Isn't that how it has to be done?
Yes.
There was an old man named Mark Foley. We'll use you as the template, sir. There was an old man named Mark Foley. Give us the next line.
A secret he kept so solely.
A secret he kept...
Oh, so solely.
Oh, so solely.
Okay. This is we're helping you along with this, which everybody knows how they're supposed to go, because you are the first,
right.
So we'll grandfather you in. A secret he kept oh so solely. Okay, next line.
Boys on PCs.
Boys on PCs made him weak in the knees.
Oh, we can do that.
Made him weak in the knees.
Made him so pleased.
Made him weak in the knees.
Made him weak in the knees, that's good. And then, as when the priest made him holy. We could go clergy and add that extra syllable.
As when the clergyman...
No, as when the priest made him holy is right.
As when the priest... No, I think it's missing syllables, isn't it? As the dun 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 dun.
It goes dun 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 dun.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, yeah.
Does anybody know? No one knows,
yeah,
do they?
It's kind of a rhythmic thing, you know.
You've got to feel the rhythm. And so forth. I have so little culture. All right, well, we'll call that one good. All right, so do it from the top one more time so everybody knows what we're talking about. Dale, go.
There was an old man, Mark Foley, a secret he kept so solely. Boys on PCs made him so pleased as when the priest made him holy.
I mean, it's pretty cool. They got that rhythmic thing going.
I suppose.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
I'm going to have him hold on to
you. All right, Dale, I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty's going to get your information.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, at the end of the day, we'll pick the best one, and the best Mark Foley limerick will win a pair of tickets to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, November 17th, their farewell tour at the Schnitz. All right, back after this with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email those if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Back after this with your personal savior, Tim Riley. Don't go anywhere.